Earlier this week, state lawmakers passed a bill by local assemblyman Cacho Ashagian, laying the groundwork for development of a Paso Robles groundwater management district. It's currently on the governor's desk awaiting his signature, which supporters of the bill are optimistic will happen. KCBX News Director Randall White recently discussed the issue of managing the basin with San Luis Obispo Tribune reporter David Sneed. Their conversation took place prior to the assembly's vote on the bill.
Yes, the Paso Robles groundwater basin and efforts to create a governing body to manage it. The issue is a lot, really, for any one newsroom to cover, let alone one single reporter. But that's exactly what David Sneed with the San Luis Obispo Tribune tackles on a regular basis. You can find his extensive reporting on the topic at sanluisobispo.com. He joins us today in studio to bring us up to date on where legislation currently stands, how we got here, and where efforts are now headed. Thank you for being here, David.
You're welcome.
First off, one journalist to another, I want to say I'm very impressed by your reporting on this issue. It's in-depth, well-balanced, and really solid writing.
Well, thank you very much.
I guess we should back up a bit and define what is being debated exactly in terms of the groundwater basin. What does it entail?
Well, the basin itself is a huge groundwater basin in the North County that covers 790 square miles of area east of Paso Robles and Atascadero, and it's an extremely important water source for the county. About 30% of the county's residents get their water from that basin, and about 40% of agriculture is irrigated with water from that basin. And so it's an extremely important resource. And unfortunately, in recent years, it's been having quite a few problems with areas, particularly east of Paso Robles, the groundwater levels having gone down 70%. Or 70 feet, I should say, in the last 15 or so years, and with residents who own homes out in the basin and are dependent on their wells, having their wells go dry and having to drill deeper wells, which is very expensive. And then 67% of the water that's taken from the basin is used for agriculture, and most of that for wine grapes, which, as we all know, is a very important part of the county's economy, particularly the North County. So it's a very important and at-risk resource for this county.
Paso Robles hangs its hat on that entire industry, and it's grown rapidly.
Yes, over the past, I've been with the paper for 17 years, and the growth in that industry has been phenomenal, and it reaches into tourism and all kinds of areas of the economy. And coincidentally, the growth that's occurred in the wine industry has also paralleled the dropping aquifer levels. So they're clearly related.
It's typical for basins like this to be managed, but the Paso area doesn't currently have any structure for that, right? So that's the issue.
That's what's currently being debated. Our Assemblyman Cacho Ashagian has a bill in the legislature that would allow the formation of a water management district for the Paso Robles Basin. And it's important to point out that this bill would not form the district. It would just kind of lay out the basic governance structure that the basin could have, the board of directors specifically, as well as what powers and authorities the district would have once it's formed, and other details like that. If this bill, which just got out of the Senate just yesterday and is now back, is supposed to go back to the Assembly, where the many changes that were made by the Senate have to be approved by the Assembly. It's called a reconciliation vote, because both houses have to agree on the bill before it can be sent on to the governor for his, you know, either approval or veto of it.
Changes and amendments to this bill have caused supporters to pull back and then re-engage again.
And yeah, that's been a very wild ride for people that follow this. The original bill that Cacho first introduced into the Assembly back in February was pretty simple. It just basically set up how the board of directors would be composed of, who could serve on it, and, you know, were they property owners or were they at-large members. And it covered just the basic, what they call the governance structure. And it got out, that form of the bill got out of the Assembly pretty much intact. But once it got to the Senate, There were wholesale changes made to the bill. There were changes made to who could who was eligible to sit on the board of directors, who could vote. Was it by a property by based on the amount of property you own, or was it a one person one vote set up? And so what they kind of came up with is that it's a one landowner one vote basis for forming the district and approving it and deciding who would be on the board of directors. Mm-hmm. And then they also added a whole bunch of additional language about delineating some of the powers and authorities that this board would have once, if and when it's actually established. And so it went from like a 3-page bill to a bill that's now like over 20 pages. And these wholesale changes were pretty disconcerting to the people that were involved in it. There were two groups, PRAGS and Pro Water Equity, which were the people that initially started the process of forming this district. And they were so confused by all these amendments that they ended up withdrawing their support, which they have since reestablished. And then also the County Board of Supervisors, which is a very important body in this whole thing, because Cacho has made it clear that he is will do their bidding. If there's local support via the Board of Supervisors and the Paso Robles City Council, he'll continue to push this bill forward. But if there's not, he would withdraw it.
And he did not have overwhelming support by the Board of Supervisors. It was a 3-2 vote, if I recall.
Yeah, they started out supporting it, but then they being the Board of Supervisors, requested some of these changes, like who was eligible to be on the at-large district members. But there was a lot of confusion because the changes were so dramatic to this. And on several occasions, the Board of Supervisors failed to come to any kind of consensus whether this was something that they continued to support or not. So it kind of hung in limbo. And there were many times back in June and July when I thought, oh man, this bill is doomed, because it's like the whole coalition that was behind it is falling apart. But Cacho was pretty steadfast in keeping it moving it through the legislature. And recently there was another final batch of amendments, and after those were done, pretty much everybody's back in support of it. Of four of the five county supervisors have sent letters to Cacho saying they support it, the fifth being Debbie Arnold, who says she's just neutral, she doesn't actively support it.
And her district contains a small portion of the groundwater basin, does it not?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Actually, Frank Meacham, his district comprises the bulk of the groundwater basin, but Debbie Arnold also, her district also has a fairly sizable chunk of it as well. So she is a key player in it, and the fact that she doesn't actively oppose this bill is pretty significant. And then also the Paso Robles City Council has supported it, and these two groups that PRAGS and Pro Water Equity that had withdrawn their support are now saying that they're supporting it. So the bill seems to be completely back on track, and there seems to be a very good likelihood that it'll be signed into law.
So PRAGS and Pro Water Equity are two interest groups, one mostly representing vineyards and agriculture. That's PRAGS.
Yes, they're mostly irrigated agriculture, namely vineyards. And then Pro Water Equity is a group. They're kind of a more of a mixture, but they represent mostly the rural residential owners, the homeowners whose homes are dependent on wells.
And they've joined forces through most of this.
Yeah, I mean, initially they were kind of at odds because I guess they didn't trust one another when the whole process started. But then the Board of Supervisors can also do that. They can hold a hearing and petition. But I think the preferred way of doing it would be if the local residents or the local landowners within the basin did it themselves. And so then that would start a very lengthy process with LAFCO, in which they would hold several hearings, and they would do They would basically create the district. They would set the boundaries. They would delineate exactly what its powers and authorities are. Some of that has already been done by Cacho's legislation, but they would fill in the gaps. And that would be a very lengthy and detailed process that would require several public hearings. And then once they formed the district, once they got it, the details worked out, then there would have to be a vote of a majority of the landowners in the district, where there are about 4,000 of them, would have to vote to approve the district. And then there would be two other elections that would need to be held to actually form the district. The next one would be you would have to provide funding for the district. That would be what they call a Prop 218 vote, because it doesn't make any sense to form a district if it doesn't have any money. So if that vote, for whatever reason, failed, then the district wouldn't be formed. But if the formation and the Prop 218 vote succeeded, then the district would be formed, and then a third election would have to be held to actually elect these the board of directors. And once that was done, then the district would be formed, and then they would have the very complicated process of trying to form, to develop a groundwater management plan for the district, which would make it sustainable. In other words, you couldn't pump out more water from the aquifer than Mother Nature puts back every year in the form of rainfall.
I'm speaking with reporter David Sneed with the San Luis Obispo Tribune, who tackles the issue of the Paso Robles groundwater basin in much of his reporting. David, it sounds like it could be several years before anyone who's currently using the Paso Robles groundwater basin water for any purpose might actually feel the teeth of this basin management.
Yes, I would think that if the bill is approved by the assembly this month, and it goes on to the governor, and he has until the end of September to sign it into law. And then once that happens, I would think it would probably take as long as a year to get to go through the actual formation process. And then, as I said, once it's formed, then the board of directors of the district would have to go to work forming, devising this management plan, and that could easily take another year. So I think, yeah, that's a very reasonable assessment of how long it would take for some concrete management plan to be put in place.
Imagine the pace at which it all goes might depend on what Mother Nature decides to do this coming winter.
Yes, I mean, that's a huge factor, is this exceptional drought that we're having. I think that's put a whole new sense of urgency on this whole issue of trying to find a solution for the Paso Robles Basin, because it's this summer is supposed to be brutal with, aquifer levels dropping even further and more people's wells going dry. So there's a lot of sense of urgency that something needs to be done to find a solution for that basin.
It's a highly complicated issue. But if you want a clear explanation of what's happening, then look for David Sneed's pieces in the San Luis Obispo Tribune. You can find his articles at sanluisobispo.com. David, thank you so much for joining us here.
Well, thank you for having me.
And I'm Randall White, KCBX News.